Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Phileas Club, the show where we get people from around the world to tell us how they saw the news from around the world. This is episode 21 for January 2010. Hello everyone and welcome to the Phileas Club. We are a little bit late for a number of reasons that I'm not going to bore you with, but we have Turkey as usual with us and returning Tom Merritt. How are you doing, Hello. Guys?
Doing well, thanks.
Turkey?
Hey,
are
Patrick.
You doing well also?
Well, I'm looking out some news for you guys.
Thank you. So many thanks to both of you, Tom, for waking up at an ungodly hour for being with us.
It's actually the normal hour I wake up. It's just on a Saturday, but you know, yeah, you've done it for me before, so fair is fair.
You're very kind. And Turkey, thank you for scouring the news for me, because I have to say this is probably going to be the most horrible Phileas Club show ever, because I have no idea about anything that happened this month.
Here, let me summarize it for you, Patrick. There was a small explosion in Iraq. There was a big explosion in Afghanistan. Haiti's still in trouble. Iran and the U.S. are fighting.
All right. Thank you very much for coming on the show. And we'll get to you next
month. And Toyota has a new slogan. Right. We keep going and going and going.
This is all right. You know what? I'm sure everyone expects us to start with Haiti or... Well, first of all, as I was saying, I'm probably not going to be very good on this show. I had a number of things that happened that prevented me, but I had many things to take care of. And as some of you might know, I don't have a TV. I do everything on the internet, and I didn't really have time to. Anyway, this is sort of my sorry excuse for not having anything intelligent to say in that show. So
your computer exploded. What are you going to do?
Yeah. On top of everything else, people who follow me on Twitter have been entertained by my cries of anguish and despair for the past few days.
Hey, Patrick, we can just go with the flow like all other podcasts and just start talking about the iPad.
That is actually, you know what? We should talk about the iPad. Maybe not, you know, the boring stuff like, are you going to get it? But talk about how it was received in our countries, because it... At least in France, I know it's the case in the U.S. also, it made the headlines for a few days. So let's not start with it, though. Let's not go too far. First, I guess, Haiti, quick update, still completely messed up. Obviously, it's been making most of the headlines for the first 2 weeks of the month. Here it was, I guess it's fairly easy to assess the coverage of this. It's like Haiti needs help, poverty, destruction all around, and the U.S. is sort of taking charge of everything, charge by you know, the country, the government, or what's left of it, of Haiti.
Yeah, and then the religious leaders go on TV and say it's all because they made a pact with the devil.
Well, they always say that when something happens somewhere. So
that's the kindly religious attitude towards a disaster is to blame the victim for dealing with the devil. Yeah.
That's usually what happens. You know, there was one interesting piece of coverage about this when the U.S. first started taking control of the airport. There was one plane, a few planes, but the first one was a French plane that couldn't land because it wasn't super clear what happened, but apparently it was really difficult to handle all the traffic, and the U.S. Asked a plane from France with medical relief and help and, you know, to not land, go away, and come back later, basically. So there was two ways of seeing it. First of all, people were sort of snarky, thinking, yeah, good job, dudes. You're diverting help planes from the people who need it. And second of all, it was like, I think most people realize this, but there is also a cynical way of viewing it, of viewing the U.S.'s involvement in this, which is they're in Haiti now, and they're going to stay. This is going to be a strategic point for the U.S. going forward.
They've been there for a while since they overthrew the government.
Well, yeah, ever since Aristide was propped up by the U.S., I mean, the U.S. has not felt any great need to control Haiti any more than it already did. So I understand how the pieces fit together nicely in a conspiracy theory like that. The U.S., yeah. You know, set off secret nuclear bombs underneath Haiti because they're in league with the Mole Men, and now they're going to, you know, seize those secret oil resources that no one knew about. But it doesn't make any sense. I mean,
was there actual theories about the U.S. Setting off nuclear devices?
Yeah, not the Mole Men part, but there definitely was the rest of that was batted around in the more conspiracy minded parts of the media.
Interesting. Well, we didn't go that far, but
that's more of your no agenda Adam Curry set. That we're kicking those theories around.
I see. Okay. Turkey, anything super anti-American? They are trying to control the world in Saudi Arabia?
We know that for a long time. So.
Okay. So nothing new basically.
There. Yeah, nothing new.
Doesn't make the headlines, right?
Nope. not anymore.
What's the Arab, well, Saudi and maybe Arab world attitude towards Haiti? Did they send, relief, humanitarian aid and stuff like that? Or
the Saudi government donated $50 million, I believe. Yeah. So,
okay. The big news
I'm not sure.
The big news on Haiti right now in the U.S. media is this case of people accused of smuggling out 33 children when they said, oh, no, these were just orphans that we've legally put up for adoption, and they've been accused of stealing them.
Right. We heard about this quite a bit in France also. So to explain things a little bit further, maybe, there was a humanitarian organization that was supposed to help children from Haiti who basically they were accused of technically abducting children from camps, some of which still had parents, apparently, and taking them to adoptive families in the U.S. And it was reported quite a bit in France because it echoed another case from a few months ago of a French organization doing the same thing in Africa. I can't remember which country specifically, but they had the same issue. And these people were defending themselves, saying we didn't exactly know that they didn't, some of them still had parents, but we were trying to help them, and we were trying to get them out of a difficult situation and find them good homes. And it's sort of difficult to know exactly how and why, because it's one of those situations where the letter of the law should be observed, and you don't just take out children of their environment without the proper work and administrative requirements. But then again, they might be alone, very young children without family in those camps, almost dying of hunger or in horrible conditions. So it's sort of weird to judge exactly if it's right or wrong, but the bottom line is that they shouldn't be doing it, I guess.
Well, I think the basic reason, and maybe why they were caught and it was a big deal, is because they were a religious organization. When it's a religious organization, usually within their own government and their own people do get sensitive about these things.
I wouldn't think it's because they were a religious organization. I mean, in France, I don't think it was a religious organization, and it wasn't even that big a deal if they were when it happened in France. The big issue was you don't just take children out of their, you know, environment without the proper... It could lead to incredible abuse. It's like child abduction. Was that the I mean, obviously, the religious aspect of it would be mentioned, but Tom, do you think in the U.S., was it reported as a big issue for the religious organization side of it?
Well, that's what made it a controversial headline, is that these were Baptist missionaries from Idaho, right? So this, if it had been, I don't know, some sort of U.N. organization or some independent thing that didn't have the paperwork, then it would have sounded like a bureaucratic error. But because it was, you know, it was a Christian organization, and oh my gosh, you know, how could we ever conceive of a Christian organization who we would totally trust to be stealing children? That makes it more sensational, because you would assume that those religious organizations are going to abide by the laws more closely than some secular organization. At least that's sort of the flavor of it, of the way it was reported here.
That's interesting. It barely made a mention in France. I guess, you know, we've talked about atheism in France and the whole attitude towards religion here a few times.
That you're godless communists.
Exactly. That plays into it. And us godless communists considered it a problem because it could lead to abuse, of course, but the fact that they were religious or not didn't really factor into it. Maybe you're like, well, you wouldn't expect them especially to do something like that, but I guess mostly we interesting. I think maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just completely gullible, but I think that most of them, maybe there was a thinking person, evil genius at the head of it, but most of them were thinking they were doing a good thing. Yeah. So,
well, I don't know. I know Haiti is basically Christian. Is it majority Christian there? Or
I think Catholic.
Baptist,
yeah.
Catholic. Okay. See, that's one of the problems. It even hurts within their population when a specific religious group tries to take their own children, then they're trying to convert them. So that also gets sensitive within the people themselves. Let alone
I'm sorry. They're devil worshippers. I forgot.
Yeah. Devil worshippers.
Who got punished for their sins.
According to whatever his name is. I don't remember his name.
Pat Robertson.
Jesus. Oh, God. That guy is an idiot.
All kidding aside, it's 80. I just looked it up. It's 80% Catholic. However, Haitian voodoo is practiced by up to 2/3 of the population. So, you know, 80% of them are Catholic, but of those 80%, a big chunk of them are also doing a more traditional religion on the side.
Yeah.
All right. To round it up about Haiti, it's sort of losing its steam a little bit in France now. We're reporting on it a little bit, but not as much, obviously. You know, it's been a month. It seems like the overall assessment of it is we're not doing things well enough. We, as the international community, could be done better, and it seems that things are taking too long, and it's not efficient enough. But it's getting done. It's sort of a, well, what do you expect attitude.
So I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that people's perception of Haiti is that it has no infrastructure, has no standards for preparedness. And, how are we supposed to help when things weren't, you know, the groundwork wasn't laid ahead of time for kind of a disaster? And that's sort of cold-hearted, but it's also sort of true. I mean, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to help, but it definitely makes things harder when the infrastructure has crumbled so much. It's kind of amazing they've been able to do as much as they have been able to do. But I think this is the key point for people to start paying attention to Haiti. I've actually not dismissed the coverage. I've watched it, and I've made donations and tried to help in the small, insignificant way that I can. But this is the point when people are going to start losing interest, and when they will actually need the help the most. So if you really do want to help Haiti, now is the time to figure out, okay, now that everybody's moved on and they're going to start watching the Oscars and the Super Bowl and or whatever the distraction is in your country, now is the time to pay attention because fewer people are going to be helping now that the celebrities aren't on the phones taking the donations anymore.
I guess so. A few reports about people being saved from the rubble a couple of weeks after the incidents. And that's about it. It's dying down, I guess.
Yeah, but like I said, most of the coverage here is about the Idaho group that, that took the kids. Yeah. There's almost no other coverage anymore.
Turkey, was it, you know, the main story in Saudi Arabia for at least a week? Or
I think for... I'm not sure for how long. It has been a major story for, yeah, about a week, I think, maybe.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to something a little bit more, let's say, light.
Bombings?
There were a bunch of bombings that got mentioned. You know,
they're lighter than earthquakes. It's true.
You know, Iraq, Afghanistan. Do we
Pakistan?
Yeah, a few ones.
Yemen. Let's see. I'm sure I can think of a few if you want.
Oh yeah, what was the Yemen invasion snafu there? There was a kind of a detente or something that got disturbed. I read something briefly about that.
Yeah, there was in Yemen. There is. A rebellion from a group of Yemenis from the northern part of Yemen, a small group of Shiite who are rebelling. They're called Houthis. And they've been fighting the Yemeni government for a while, and they did attack the Saudi side. They entered the Saudi border. Saudi declared, officially it's not called a war.
That's from last month, wasn't it? I seem to remember you mentioned it.
But right now they just agreed to... the Houthis will withdraw from the Saudi borders and ask for a complete ceasefire. So currently on the Saudi side, things are quieting down. And in Yemen right now, the government has provided the rebels with the conditions for the end of the war, the fighting. And apparently the Houthis are initially accepting those conditions.
Oh well, there was a new development this week though. Just a couple days ago, Yemeni forces killed 16 Shiite rebels, including they claim a number of the leaders. After the ceasefire fell apart, that was the thing that I was thinking.
That news happens every other day.
Okay,
same exact news headline.
Gotcha.
All right.
So sometimes it's true. Sometimes it turns out they didn't kill anybody. It's just a lot of
and every fun. Once in a while, Reuters decides to report it.
Reuters decides to report it every 5 seconds. So
yeah.
I guess a little bit more on the tech side, but still reported was Berlusconi's attempt to control YouTube and the internet, which is sort of worrying because he basically owns every single media outlet in Italy, and he's trying to make the service providers, YouTube first of all, responsible for what's being uploaded, and libel and stuff like that.
I don't think that really matters unless the European Union agrees with it.
Well, it depends. If they make it, if they make YouTube responsible for libel being uploaded to the site, they could prosecute them in Italy. Which...
Right, but there's, I think Turkey's right because there's a European Union directive that says that providers like YouTube, third-party providers, have a safe harbor.
You
can't hold them liable for the content posted by their.
Absolutely.
You know, by their user.
Yeah, but then it needs to be there needs to be a trial in Italy, and then it will go back up to the European Union, to the Commission, and it doesn't. I mean, the Commission could possibly say, "Hey, wait a second, what are you doing?" But that's what they did with the three strikes law in France, and it didn't really, you know, they sort of went around it and made it and adopted it anyway. So now it could be challenged if there is a trial that goes on high enough to actually go back to the European Union, but I'm pretty certain that it would still, you know, have a chilling effect in Italy, and it's even on principle, I think it's a worrisome trend, you know?
Wait, I thought with the three strikes law that the European Union did send it back and say, hey, you need to modify this. France modified it a little bit to the satisfaction of the European Commission. So is what you're saying that could happen here, where Italy sends it up, European Commission says, no, this violates the directive. Italy kind of tweaks it just a little bit, and then everybody pretends that it fits?
Well, look at it the way that states are handling things in the U.S. now. For example, for which one was it? The abortion laws issue. If there is, you know, women have a federal right to abortion. I can't remember exactly how it works, but if you have a right on the federal level and a state votes a law that goes against it, then in order to challenge it, you need to go into a trial that goes high enough to reach the federal level, right?
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah. I think it's something to that effect in here, too. If there is a blatant issue, then the federal, the European Commission could take a look at it and say, wait a second, and initiate a very heavy process that could do something. But in the meantime, they're probably still allowed to do what they want on the state level, because obviously we have even more independence on the state level in Europe than you guys do on the state level in the U.S., for example. So we have to reconciliate both at one point, but there could be a period where it's unclear.
It's also similar. It's also interesting that at the same time, Australia has gone and a judge there that did go to the courts, like you're mentioning, a judge there decided that an ISP is not responsible for enforcing copyright law. And so the ISP is well within its rights to tell the movie industry, we're not going to cooperate on trying to track down copyright folks unless it's an investigation, unless it actually goes to court. We're not just going to take your word for it when you say someone has violated copyright.
Well, apparently they have a judge with brains there, so
that's the one of the few.
And it was also the analogy he made, which I'm I heard from you on Buzz Out Loud, was you don't sue the electricity company because the infringer or alleged infringer used electricity.
Yeah.
So yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and it's time that some things like that happen a little bit, because recently it seems like things have been going the other way a little bit too much. It's always a back and forth, but between this and ACTA and a few other things that are happening, It seems that we're going back to over protection of the copyright and IP. So, and obviously, I don't want people to misunderstand. I'm not saying we shouldn't protect them. I'm just saying that due process is still important. And while we're talking about tech, let's talk about the iPad. And unlike this IP and YouTube discussion, it's actually very legitimate to have it in this show, because it was, at least in France, a major event. All the newspapers talked about it on the day of and a couple of days afterwards, and there was a very interesting survey that was made a few days after the announcement was made, which revealed that about 60-70% of the French population had heard and knew of the iPad. And among those, about two-thirds were willing to give it a chance and buy it. and you know, make the purchase once it's out. So that was an incredible result, because you can imagine how much money you need to invest to get a brand retention of 60% or 70% of the population, and Apple did it with a single announcement, which is completely amazing. I mean, it was making the headlines on every major newspaper. The 8 o'clock news was being was having reports on it live from the show. Can you imagine any other company that would have something like that happen? A tech company? No one ever has anything like that. It's completely unbelievable.
Well, it takes the whole consumer electronics show to kind of bring that kind of attention, which is the entire tech industry except for Apple.
Yeah.
I mean,
Are you going to compare the tech industry to Steve Jobs, the god of tech?
Well, that's the thing. He's just one man, and he's getting more. How does he
do it? Patrick, he's a god. How many people do you think worship him compared to anybody else?
We did an episode of The Real Deal on CNET about this. A guy named Carmine Gallo, who's been kicking around the tech industry for a long time covering stuff, did a book about Steve Jobs' presentation methods and how he creates that reality distortion field that captures people. And you know, Carmine's writing the book to help other presenters, you know, people who are in business, to kind of crib that and recreate some of that in their own presentations. But essentially what Steve does is very formulaic. He's able to kind of hit on some common themes that humanity is really understanding and desirous of. He's able to put you in a dark room and control the message, repeat points, make things very simple, have good visual background, don't overload people with information. If you notice, he's always got 1 point,
a couple of
two
words,
point,
yeah.
3 point, move on. Some of it isn't even all that revolutionary. It's the kind of thing you learn in college in a speech class, but he's just refined it to a perfection.
Okay, but that speaks to tech geeks. I mean, the fact that we would be interested, I can understand. How come the rest of the world goes crazy about things like that?
But that's what I mean, is he's learned not to speak to tech geeks. He's not up there throwing a bunch of processor speed at you. You know, even the A4 chip, which got a little geeky when he talked about the chip part of it, was very simplified. He didn't talk about anything inside the chip. We don't know anything about that chip or why it's faster or better, but he made you believe it was by showing it. And we've developed this, and you know, the cadence. It's designed for the folks who aren't already on board, but at the same time to just, you know, bring those folks that are on board right along with him. You know, and he's got the staff in the audience clapping at the right moments and all of that sort of stuff. But I think to your wider question is, like, why do people care in the first place, right? They got to get into the auditorium before they become part of that reality distortion field. And that has to do with the simplicity of the products. You know, the iPod was very dead simple to use. And that was always the complaint, is that it couldn't do X, Y, and Z. And that didn't matter to most people. They're like, oh, that's so beautiful and well-designed and easy, and I get it. And they've been carrying out that theme in a way that nobody else does. The other people make more functional machines. They make better machines. They make cheaper machines. But nobody makes simpler machines.
Okay, but still, why do the New York Times, the, you know, Le Figaro, Le Monde in France, and other major newspaper stop the presses and stop everything when Apple is talking about something, when it's just a big... I'm playing devil's advocate here, but
sure.
It's a big iPod. Why does the world have to stop? I understand that our world, our tech world, has to stop, but
because people want to know right now. He's a revolutionary. He brought you the iPod. He brought you the iPhone. But the people reaction, the media just goes what the people want. And the people, as long as the people are crazy about the iPod and the iPhone, they're must gonna be crazy about the iPad. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I agree. It's the
And at this point, I'm very sorry to say that I lost the whole the rest of the show, which is really a shame because it was way better than what you just heard. We had a few very interesting conversation about the burqa and other things, the Islamic veil, because of laws being passed in France. And we had great conversations about... this kind of thing happens every once in a while, and it's incredibly discouraging and frustrating. And I feel very sorry for both the hosts that were kind enough to arrange their schedules to come and do the show with me. In these times, you feel very sorry for yourself, and then you remember that people die in Haiti and other places, so it's not a big deal. So hopefully we will have another show which will be good and not lost or destroyed by myself, because this is entirely my fault. That will be next month, and I hope you will be there and you won't have run and in anger because I'm too much of an idiot to save a show properly. So thanks again for being here, guys, and we'll talk to you next month. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.